Hello and welcome to our program today. We're looking in Revelation chapter 16. We'll be talking about the rivers and the fountains. Stay tuned. Revelation 16, verse number 1, John said, I heard a great voice out of the temple, saying to the seven angels, Go your ways, and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went, and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became as blood. This portion of Scripture is referring to some days that are ahead during the tribulation period, and you don't want to be there. Those who know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior won't be there. Here's a message in song. Take it to heart, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
And free.
What a tremendous message and song. First time I heard that, I was 12 years old. I was listening to a choir singing it, much like what it sounds like on the message and song that we just listened to. And about an hour after I heard that song, I received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Well, we're looking in Revelation 16, and especially number 4 today, that says the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and the fountains of waters, and they became as blood. Now we're going to have some major consequences as a result of this. These rivers in the world and the fountains of water, they are the sources of water for multitudes of people. For example, the United States has 250,000 rivers covering 3.5 million miles, and over 60% of America's drinking water comes from rivers alone. The Mississippi River, for example, is the source of drinking for 18 million people who live in 70 cities and towns along the banks of the Mississippi River. Some of those places include Minneapolis, St. Paul, Cincinnati, Omaha, St. Louis, and New Orleans. 400 million people in India are dependent upon the rivers for their lives. There are 50 million people in Western Europe, and many of them are dependent upon the river for water. At least one-third of Britain's drinking water comes from the rivers. In the city of London, England, they get 90% of its water out of two rivers. Rivers in China supply water to hundreds of millions of people. The Nile River flows 4,100 miles and supplies water for tens of millions of people. It is the main source of drinking water for 13 million inhabitants of Cairo. The Amazon River in South America flows through six countries and has 1,000 tributaries providing water for tens of millions of people. Well, it's not going to be a good day when that third angel pours out his vials upon the rivers and they become blood. Well, you say, well, I'll just dig a well. That won't help you. The fountains of waters are also going to become blood. What are the fountains? The fountains of water encompass a large portion of the earth's water supplies not covered by rivers. Fountains of waters, or springs, create lakes that we see around the world. When we dig a well, we go down to these underground aquifers, which supply a large percentage of the world's drinking water. Aquifers are layers of rock and soil with water flowing through their small pores. New water, such as from rain or melting snow, drips down into the ground through the pores and cracks and rocks in the soil. As they go down there, they come through these aquifers. If you dig a well down far enough, you'll hit one of those things, you'll get well water, but guess what? They're going to be turned to blood too. The world's going to be in an awful mess that day. Glad I'm not going to be here. I hope you're not going to be here. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you won't be. If you don't, you will. The angels, as you look back in Revelation 16, verse 5 and 7, glorify God for this judgment. Now, they have shed the blood of saints and prophets in this world, all the way from Adam to the Antichrist, and God is upset about it. God has not forgotten, and He will punish this world. We read another angel by the altar adds his amen to this. He says, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are Thy judgments." Everything God does is right, and wise men will praise Him, whether they understand it or whether they don't. Well, the fourth vial is poured out, and the Bible says the sun's heat scorches men, Revelation 16, verse 8 and 9. In verse number 8, we read, "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give Him glory." You would think at this point they'd start to smarten up. No, they don't repent. They blaspheme against God. The result of this judgment here will obviously bring pain and misery throughout the whole world. Many old and young people will die as a result of this. Every severe heat wave that comes in the summer results in the death of some people. This will be a heat wave like nobody else knew anything about ever in the history of the world. You talk about global warming, this will be it. Under intense heat, we perspire, we become dehydrated, and are constantly thirsty, but there will be no water available. Men, as it says here, will blaspheme God and will refuse to repent. One reason they don't repent is circumstances are not the author of genuine repentance. The Holy Spirit is the author of repentance, and any other kind of repentance will be short-lived. Three times in this chapter we read that men blasphemed God for the judgments that were sent. One has to wonder why they didn't blame Mother Nature, you know, and all the time you hear the news and they're talking about a storm that comes along and Mother Nature did this and Mother Nature did that. No, there's no Mother Nature. God did this and God did that. But now, when they want to find somebody to blame for things that are going wrong, they're not going to blame Mother Nature. They're going to blame God. It's interesting. Why do people say, well, why did the devil do this or why did the devil do that? Why do they always blame God? They've been blaming God for everything that went wrong for the last 6,000 years, and it's payday. The Bible says there's a payday someday, and this is it. This is the time when we see the judgment of God without mixture. The Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 32 that people knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Well, we go on to the next vial, and it is darkness in verse number 10 and verse number 11. We read, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongue for pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Well, this fifth vial was like that what happened in Exodus chapter 10 in Egypt in the days of Moses. It was not just the absence of light, it was a thick darkness that could be felt. The Bible says here that this darkness is centered in the seat of the Antichrist kingdom, and again, men blaspheme God and refuse to repent, verse number 11. Pain and trouble, as we said before, do not produce repentance. Most who repent during a time of trouble go back on their repentance when the trouble is over. This type of repentance is really just remorse or regret, and it's called the sorrow of the world unto repentance. But the Bible says, godly sorrow worketh repentance, and that is a sorrow that which the Holy Spirit is the author of that repentance. That portion of Scripture is found in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9 through 10. It says, now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrow to repentance. For ye were made sorry for a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. What we see in verses 12 to 16, the door is open to the pathway to the battle of Armageddon. It says, the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, and the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. We read in verse number 16, he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Well, we'll see more about this great battle in our next program. Be sure and tune in. In the meantime, if you're a child of God, you can sing along with this great message and song, My Anchor Holds.
Though the angry surges roll on my tempest-driven soul, I am peaceful, for I know, wildly though the wind winds may blow, I've an anchor safe and sure that can evermore endure. And it holds, my anchor holds. Blow your wildest sail, oh gale, on my bark so small and frail. By His grace I shall not fail, for my anchor holds, my anchor holds. Mighty tides about me sweep, currents lurk within the deep, angry clouds o'ershade the sky, and the tempest rises high. Still I stand the tempest shock, for my anchor grips the rock.
My anchor holds.